Father, we thank you. We thank you for you. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for your grace, your mercy, your kindness, your love, the care that you have for us. We thank you, Lord, for your correction when we need it. Lord, we pray this morning that you would speak to us, that you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, would reach into our hearts and do a work, whether it's encouragement, whether it's correction, whatever it is, whatever we need as individuals. We acknowledge, Lord, that you are big enough, Lord, to reach in and use your word today to speak to us. Lord, help us to hear what we need to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of today's teaching is, Who's the Boss? And we're all familiar with that TV show from the 1980s, right? With Tony Danza and Judith Light. But instead of asking the question posed by that title, by that sitcom, as far as like, who's the boss within that household, today we'll see the glaring difference between people that have different bosses. And we'll ask that same question, but with a different focus. Really kind of considering who's the real boss in our lives. And last week we saw Jehoshaphat become king over Judah. We saw that he was a godly king, that he cleansed the land of all of the idols and the high places. And then he sent leaders throughout the whole nation of Judah to teach the word of God. It's now 3 years later. He's made peace with the 10 northern tribes of Israel by marrying into King Ahab's family. Yeah, that Ahab with Jezebel, old Jezzy, and all that. And, you know, even though it wasn't prohibited in the law, like it's prohibited for the Israelis to marry a Gentile, and marry into the pagan nations, it still wasn't a smart thing to do. We saw when we covered this same event that we're looking at today, when it was in 1 Kings 22, and we'll see it again, that Jehoshaphat wasn't the sharpest knife in the drawer. He really wasn't. He was godly, but not a genius. And I'm glad you don't have to be a genius to be godly or even to make it to heaven, because there'll be a lot of us that would be left out, right? Myself, yeah, for one. So let's go ahead and start in the first four verses. Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance, and by marriage, he allied himself with Ahab. After some years, he went down to visit Ahab in Samaria, and Ahab killed sheep and oxen in abundance for him and the people who were with him, and persuaded him to go up with him to Ramoth-Gilead. So Ahab, king of Israel, said to Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, "Will you go with me against Ramoth-Gilead?" And he answered him, "I am as you are, and my people as your people. We will be with you in the war." Also, Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, "Please inquire for the word of the Lord today." Now, marrying into a family of idolaters, like I said, is not a smart thing for a godly person to do. And the children are going to be raised with conflicting values. And because of the deceitfulness and the allure of sin, a lot of times those kids end up being evil. They kind of go off to the bad side oftentimes. And we'll see that with one of Jehoshaphat's sons. Yeah, good enough, right? That's his nickname we'll give him, right? But in chapter 22, we'll see that. But as we saw in 1 Kings, Ahab persuaded Jehoshaphat to go to war with Israel against the Syrians, and Jehoshaphat agreed before he sought the Lord. And folks, that's not smart. Whenever we're making some kind of big decision in our lives, especially something like that, we need to seek the Lord first, get his guidance first before we move forward. But at least he does want to know. He does want to hear from Yahweh before they go to war. Look at verses 5 and 6. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, 400 men, and said to them, "Shall we go to war against Ramoth-Gilead, or shall I refrain?" So they said, "Go up, for God will deliver it into the king's hand." But Jehoshaphat said, is there not still a prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of him? Now, we don't really know who these 400 prophets were, but they were, in fact, false prophets. And we'll see that in a minute. We're not told, though, how Jehoshaphat could tell that they weren't prophets of Yahweh. You know, maybe it was how they dressed, right? Their attire, you know? It's like Jehoshaphat sitting there, Yahweh's prophets and priests, they never had a bone through their nose or little skulls around their neck. I don't know. And so, you know, he asks Ahab if there's any real prophets left. And remember, in Israel, the 10 northern tribes, the word of God wasn't available. Remember, all the priests and the Levites had been removed by Jeroboam. And Israel's state religion were the two golden calves and then some other idols that they had allowed. And kind of anybody that paid a fee could be a priest. And so he's got all of these false prophets. And Joshua said, come on, man, haven't you got one good guy left? In verse 7, so the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, there is still one man by whom we may inquire the Lord, but I hate him because he never prophesies good concerning me, but always evil. He is Micaiah, the son of Imlah. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say such things. Jehoshaphat knew it was wrong to disrespect one of God's representatives like that. Hey, don't talk like that, Ahab. Come on, man. And yet he could have said, you know, have you ever thought why he prophesies evil concerning you? Because you are evil. He was a bad dude. Remember, we've seen it before that Ahab was one of the worst kings, one of the most wicked kings that Israel ever had. Verses 8 through 10 says, then the king of Israel called one of his officers and said, bring Micaiah, the son of Imlah, quickly. The king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, clothed in their robes, sat each on his throne, and they sat at a threshing floor at the entrance of the gate of Samaria, and all of the prophets before him, or prophesied before him. Now Zedekiah, the son of Chenaanah, kind of reminds me of the Shananah, Chenaanah, had made horns of iron for himself, and he said, thus says the Lord, with these you shall gore the Syrians until they are destroyed. So get that picture, though, because it's kind of the kind of weird kind of a setting, really, when you get right down to it. There they are, both of the kings. They're robed, sitting on their thrones. They're at the entrance of the city, which would be the most public place for them to be at. There would have been a huge crowd there. Everybody would have gathered around, and that's why they're there and not meeting in the palace someplace. They're wanting to be there where this is a whole public deal, probably to draw public support for this upcoming war and all that. And you've got these 400 false prophets all dancing around saying, go, king, go. Go, king, go. Yeah, we're going to get the Syrians. Yeah, go for it. Go for it. And the weirdest one of all the false prophets is this guy, Zedekiah. He makes these horns, and he has them on his head, and he prophesies to the kings in the name of Yahweh. Don't miss that. Thus says the Lord. And you've heard me before, if you haven't been here and heard me, when you see the Lord, and the word Lord is in all caps, that's the translators telling us that's the proper name for God there. And it's because the Jews took out the vowel points a long time ago, thousands of years ago, so that we couldn't pronounce God's name. Just the consonants YHVH or YHWH are there. So it's, thus says Yahweh. Or Jehovah, with these you shall gore the Syrians. He's prophesying in the name of the true God. And was he really expecting the king to wear those horns in battle? With these you shall gore the Syrians. And it always reminds me when I read this account of the hillbilly Cadillacs you see, right? Remember the Cadillacs with the big old Texas horns on them, the long horns on them? You know, and actually, his great-grandson showed up in a 1978 Clint Eastwood movie, Every Which Way But Loose. See, there he is, And like old Zedekiah, the hillbilly Cadillac, he wasn't the only one that was prophesying lies to the kings. Look at verse 11. And all the prophets prophesied so, saying, go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper, for the Lord, for Yahweh will deliver it into the king's hand. And here's where we need to focus, folks. All 400 false prophets are saying the same thing. And they're all saying it in the name of Yahweh. Now, think about this. Because everyone, it seems like everyone, is saying the same thing, does that make it right? Today, it is more important to ask this question than ever. Where we're headed in our society is not a good thing. Right now, today, we've got one political party controlling the federal government as well as many state and local governments. They control the news media, whether it's in print, radio, or TV. They control the social media. They control the entertainment industry, TVs, movies, and all that. They control big tech, the medical field, public education, and most of the military top brass, as well as even the FBI. And anybody that speaks up with a different viewpoint is silenced or canceled. They're removed from social media because of disinformation. There's a lot of things now that we're seeing that, well, wait a minute, that stuff that they were saying was disinformation, now it's being proven here a year later that, no, that was actually good information. But they don't make apologies. They don't say, hey, we were wrong. You know, think about, remember the American frontline doctors about a year and a half ago on the steps of the Supreme Court? And they were talking about how, hey, we're treating people with COVID with hydroxychloroquine. We're having 100% success rate. And they were canceled. They were muted. They were removed from YouTube. They were removed from their website was shut down. They had to go to a different host to host their website. They were removed from all the social media stuff. And you know, the thing is, and this is one of the things that concerns me, where our country is headed right now. If they were wrong, if what these people are saying is really disinformation, have an open debate. Have a public debate. Put on national TV. Show why they're wrong. But when the government is in control and the same political party is in control of all of this that we see today, that's a dangerous place. You don't get to hear any kind of conflicting viewpoint. And if you don't think that's going to happen to the church, folks, you are wrong. It will happen. This is what every totalitarian government does when it comes into power. Our country is being set up, and really the world, for the Antichrist. Now, I don't plan on being here. I believe we're going to be raptured out of here. But people are being conditioned that we'll be left behind to accept whatever the government says. And that if you get out of step with that, you know, oh man, you know, you're in trouble. And you think about how they don't even report anything that doesn't fit their agenda. Like the peaceful protests last year, right? I'm watching the news. I see this car lot burning, and this reporter is standing in front of it there in Kenosha, Wisconsin. And she says, it's mostly peaceful here in Kenosha. It's like, what? You're watching the dumpster go by on fire, and then all these cars are being burned up. But then again, you know, try and tell that to the guy named Robert Cobb, that 71-year-old guy that was beaten half to death trying to save his building, save his business. Search on YouTube for a video of his beating. It was all over YouTube before. You can't find it now. You know, there's one video of it available, but it's embedded in the local news station, the Fox 6 from Wisconsin there, during their report of the incident. But you can't find it. It's just not there like it used to be. Even the reason they were supposedly protesting the supposed shooting of an unarmed black man, Jacob Blake, by the police. Some of the media We had reported that the cops had killed him, okay? Which they didn't. And they all said he was unarmed, even the governor of that state. They never came back and made an apology, but he was armed with a knife. He had an outstanding warrant for sexual assault on the very woman that called the police on him that day. And he was violating an order of protection, threatening her and all that kind of stuff. And when the officer showed up, he refused all their verbal commands. They got into a scuffle. He broke free. They saw he had a knife, so they tased him, but the taser didn't work. It didn't shut him down. He went to the vehicle where there was a couple of kids inside. They didn't know, is he going to kidnap them? Is he going to harm them? Whatever. He goes to reach inside the vehicle for something. They don't know what he's reaching for, and so that's when they shot him. But you still don't hear that on most of the news, do you? You don't hear that correction. And it's just like with these 400 false prophets. There may be a lot of people saying the same thing, folks. But if they're all lying, it doesn't make it true. We have to have discernment. We have to start really looking at things and try and get as much information as we can, because if you believe something that's a lie, that will cause you to react in a different way than if you know it's a lie. If you believe a lie, folks, that will affect your decision making. And folks, understand, everyone has an agenda. Everyone. I got an agenda. I'll admit that. My agenda? My agenda is to please my boss. My Lord, my Savior. Part of my agenda is to go to heaven and to help as many people around me to go there as well. That's my agenda. But folks, if someone doesn't have the Lord as their boss, as their Lord, yeah, and they're not filled with the Holy Spirit, they're not born again, the Bible tells us they're part of the perishing world. They don't know it. They don't realize it. But it's real plain in 1 John 5:19, we're told, we know that we are of God, because he's writing to the church. But he says, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. See, the wicked one would love to have us all hating and killing each other because of the color of someone's skin. Folks, that's evil. We know that the enemy is seeking whom he may devour. He's a murderer, and he's the father of lies. And we need the truth. As we've seen before, God always has a remnant, at least one, that would stand for God and tell the truth. And that's Micaiah here. You got all these 400 false prophets. They're all saying the same thing. They're all lying to the kings. And they're saying exactly what the kings want to hear. Oh, yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah, we'll go. We'll win. Yeah. Meanwhile, okay, Micaiah and the guy that went and got him, they're standing there watching all this stuff go down. Okay? They're watching the hillbilly Cadillac, you know, yeah, man, you're going to go to the Syrians, woo! You know, in verses 12 and 13. Then the messenger who had gone to call Micaiah spoke to him saying, now listen, the words of the prophets with one accord encourage the king. Therefore, please, let your word be like the word of one of them and speak encouragement. And Micaiah said, as the Lord lives, whatever my God says, that I will speak. Right on Micaiah. That's how we should all be, folks. Especially every pastor, behind every pulpit, everywhere in the world. But look at the difference. Who's Micaiah's boss? What's Yahweh, his God? As he said there. The only right answer to God, if he's really the boss, is yes, Lord. Now you think about the word Lord. We don't use that title very much around here, do we? That's kind of something that's gone from our vocabulary in the United States, but the closest word would be boss. And folks, the word Lord, as far as Jesus is concerned, it speaks of him being the supreme ruler. He's God. There's no higher authority. And as far as him being the judge, which he is, there's no appealing to a higher court. He's it. And by the way, Lord isn't his first name. It's not Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Both Lord and Christ are titles. Lord, you know, is his title, but much more. It's really a description of his place within the kingdom of God and his place within the life of every born-again believer in Jesus, every true disciple, every true follower of Jesus. He is to be Lord. Jesus himself said so. After washing the disciples' feet, Jesus said in John 13:13, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am." He went on to explain to them what he had done was an example for them to follow, to humbly serve one another. But the point here is that Jesus is Lord. He is to be our boss. Every now and then you'll hear a kid say, "You're not the boss of me." Well, if you're a Christian, you can never say that to the Lord. You can't. He is to be the boss of us. You know, there were some that were calling him Lord, but living in disobedience to him. And in Luke 6:46, he said, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say?" See, Jesus pointed out the inconsistency between just calling him Lord versus him being their Lord. The right thing for any follower of Christ is to obey him. Yes, Lord. And God's prophets were to speak whatever God said to them, no matter who it was and that they were supposed to be speaking to or what the consequences might be. And that's exactly what Micaiah does eventually. So the messenger begs him, "Just go with the flow, Micaiah, come on, man." Verses 14 and 15. Then he came to the king, and the king said to him, "Micaiah, shall we go to war against Ramoth Gilead, or shall I refrain?" And he said, "Go and prosper, and they shall be delivered into your hand." So the king said to him, "How many times shall I make you swear that you tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord?" Micaiah is obviously being sarcastic, and Ahab knew it. Yeah, come on, man. Tell me the truth. How many times I got to tell you? Verses 16 and 17. Then he said, "I saw Israel scattered on the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd." See, Ahab the king was supposed to be their shepherd. "And the Lord said, these have no master. Let each return to his house in peace." And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "Did I not tell you he would not prophesy good concerning me, but evil?" See, I told you so. But Micaiah's not finished. 18 to 22. Then Micaiah said, "Therefore hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who will persuade Ahab, king of Israel, to go up, that he may fall at Ramoth Gilead? So one spoke in this manner, another in that manner. Then a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. The Lord said to him, in what way? So he said, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all the prophets. And the Lord said, you shall persuade him and also prevail. Go out and do so. Therefore, look, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of these prophets of yours, and the Lord has declared disaster against you. By the way, just in case you're coming up and say, hey, wait a minute, God's being deceitful there. No, he's not. You know, he did allow one of the demonic spirits to lie. Let me go back, remember a couple weeks ago when we had that, the teaching was entitled Tests. You can go and listen to that if you weren't here. But Micaiah is telling the truth. He's saying exactly what happened and why. He's the only one telling the truth, as opposed to the 400 false prophet liars. Now imagine that you're one of those false prophets hearing this. Because Micaiah is saying you're being led by a demon. You're lying. You're not speaking for Yahweh. Imagine that. 23 and 24. Then Zedekiah, the son of Chena'anah, went near and struck Micaiah on the cheek and said, which way did the spirit from the Lord go from me to speak to you? And Micaiah said, indeed, you shall see on that day when you go into an inner chamber to hide. Now, we don't know how that was fulfilled, but we know it was because it was from the Lord. But there's Micaiah. He's one godly man against Ahab and his 400 liars. He's told the truth. and he gets smacked for it. And it gets worse. Verse 25 to 27. Then the king of Israel said, take Micaiah and return him to Ammon the governor and the city of the city and to Joash the king's son and say, thus says the king, put this fellow in prison and feed him with bread of affliction and water of affliction until I return in peace. But Micaiah said, if you ever return in peace, the Lord has not spoken by me. And he said, take heed, all you people. Remember, Micaiah had just prophesied that Ahab would die in battle. So if Ahab came back from the battle, then it wasn't the Lord speaking through him. And that is, in fact, one of the ways that God gave Israel to tell if a prophet was genuine or not, if he was speaking in the name of the Lord, and if it was right. In Deuteronomy 18:22, it says, when a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him. This is why Micaiah said to all of those that were in attendance, and it's important to remember that this is a huge gathering. This is why he tells them all, take heed, all you people, take heed. But the people of Israel did not take heed. Even after Ahab died in battle, just like Yahweh prophesied through Micaiah, they still rejected Yahweh and followed the false prophets. But notice in verse 25, return him to Ammon the governor. Get that. Micaiah had already been locked up for being a true prophet of Yahweh. They had to go get him out of the prison, and then they brought him back to the prison. Because he was doing what God had called him to do, he was locked up. He was in prison. But note that. When they came and got him, that didn't change what he did. He still obeyed God. He didn't think, okay, if I just disobey God in this one little bitty thing here, then maybe I'll be free. I'll make the king happy. And I'll be all right. No, he did what he was supposed to do. He went and told the truth. So he says, return him. Stick him back in prison. And in fact, you know, give him bread and water of affliction. There is not a whole lot of consensus on what that means. Some say, well, it meant that he got very minimal rations, just enough to stay alive. But some say, well, it was probably stale bread and stanky water, you know, something like that. But back to the point of today's teaching. Look at the contrast between the 400 false prophets and the one true prophet. 400 served themselves. They did and said whatever they believed they could benefit from. They weren't concerned about the truth. They had a different boss. They chose the easy path, what was easy for them. But Micaiah, he took the only right path. Yahweh was his boss. He was going to be faithful to God, even though it meant suffering. He was going to do what God had called him to do. And that's the way it was for most of the Old Testament prophets. Remember, it's that same Ahab and his wife Jezebel that persecuted Elijah the prophet. Remember? I'm going to kill him, kind of thing, after the 450 prophets of Baal that Elijah had killed. Isaiah the prophet, you know, we love, in fact, we just quoted, Donna just quoted Isaiah. Do you know Isaiah was sawn in half because of him prophesying in the name of Yahweh? The last of the Old Testament prophets, John the Baptist, he was beheaded for telling the truth. And in fact, listen to what Stephen, the first Christian martyr, said to the Jewish leaders just before they killed him. Acts 7:52, which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the just one, of whom you now have become the betrayers and murderers. You know, when we read that passage, we oftentimes focus on these leaders and their ancestors and think about the sin that was involved in their ancestors and in them, in crucifying Christ and all of that. But think about what this statement says about the life of the godly prophets that were killed. They were persecuted. They were murdered. Why? Because they were disobeying God? No, because they were obeying God, because they were doing what God had called them to do. And don't think it's any different now. Paul told Timothy, the young pastor in Ephesus, in 2 Timothy 3:12, as Paul was in prison, he says, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. It's going to happen. In fact, think about what the Lord said to this guy named Ananias about Paul. Acts 9:15 and 16. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name for Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. How'd you like to start a ministry with that kind of word from the Lord? I'm sending you to suffer. Woohoo! Yeah! Sign me up twice. But see, if the Lord is really the boss, the only right thing to do is to obey, to faithfully do what he's called you to do. Now, he's called all of us to go in the world, all the world, to preach the gospel, right? We should be faithfully doing that, regardless of who might get offended or get mad at you or whatever. Paul faithfully did what he was called to do, and he was beheaded for it. Peter was crucified upside down. John was boiled in oil. He survived that. And then he was exiled to the island of Patmos, where he wrote the book of Revelation. John's brother James was killed with a sword. And all the rest of the apostles suffered martyrdom for obeying the Lord. We've all been called to serve the Lord, preaching the gospel, but also as a part of the body of Christ. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 12 and a number of other places that we're all a unique part of the body of Christ, and God has gifted us and placed us within the body to serve him. And that if we remove ourselves, you know, if the eye says, well, I'm not a hand, so I'm not going to serve, all that stuff, you know, God will raise up a different part, a different person to come in, fill that part of the body if you refuse. The church will suffer. He'll provide somebody else eventually, but you miss out on the blessings now and the rewards in eternity. You know, it's not always going to be easy. It's not going to be fun. It's not going to be pleasant. But if we gave our lives to Christ, then we've said, I'm not my own anymore. He bought me, paid for me with his blood on the cross. And folks, I believe that the Lord is wanting us to understand that, okay, the rapture could happen before we finish here this morning. But it might not. It might go for a while. And we might start seeing some real persecution. We might start seeing that if we speak the truth in the name of the Lord, that we end up in prison. Don't think that it can't happen here. Every totalitarian dictatorship that started out, hey, nice, good, great, wonderful, and ended up like this, the people never expected what happened after things turned against them. Folks, understand, we're being set up. Pay attention to what's going on. But even more than that, stay connected to the truth. Seek the Lord. Seek his word. Seek him in prayer. Stay tight with him no matter what, because he's the boss. I want to leave you with one passage out of Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 4. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. Let's stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for these tune-ups. Lord, these times that we can examine ourselves and make sure that you're the boss, that you are in fact our Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us if there's any area where we're the boss, where we think that we still have control of something, help us to understand that even that area belongs to you. Lord, we're yours. Help us. Help us to always say yes, Lord. Help us to disregard our comfort, to set aside our plans when they conflict with yours. Lord, may you speak to us through your word. May you hear our prayers. Lord, may you use us in the way that you want to use us. Lord, may you make us usable, surrendered to your will, our Lord. Be glorified in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.